Hi, I'm Josh Lance, and when I'm not brewing beer or making wine, I'm listening to John Garrett on the Green Apple Podcast.
Hello, this is John Garrett, and welcome to episode 125 of the Green Apple Podcast, where each Wednesday I interview a professional known for a hobby or a passion, making them stand out like a green apple in a red apple world. And I'm always so fascinated at how we always try to stand out with our technical expertise. And I'm here to shine a light each week on someone who understands that this expertise isn't always earned in degrees and certifications. Sometimes it's experiences from your passions outside of work that actually make you better at your job. And this week, you'll hear how those passions have actually allowed my guest to create a niche market for himself, making it much easier to be excited to do his job every single day, which is crazy that that's such a weird thing. And really quickly, I'd also like to let you know I'm doing some research. It's super short, 1 minute anonymous survey about firm culture and how the Green Apple message might apply in your world. So if you've got just 60 seconds, please go to greenapplepodcast.com. You can click a big green button there, answer a few quick questions. Again, it's totally anonymous, and I really, really appreciate your help. And thanks so much to everyone for subscribing to the show so you don't miss any of the cool guests like this week's Josh Lance. He's the managing director of Lance CPA Group in Chicago and an adjunct faculty at Northwestern University. Josh was also selected to the 2017 class of the AICPA Leadership Academy, named as one of the 40 under 40 in 2017 for CPA Practice Advisor, and selected to serve on the Zero Partner Advisory Council. Wow, that's really impressive, Josh. I'm so excited to have you with me today on the Green Apple Podcast.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Oh man, I'm so excited to get to your passion, which is a passion of a lot of people, I think, indirectly. But first off, maybe in your own words, what you're up to now and in a little bit of how you got there.
Yeah. So right now I am the managing director of Lance CPA Group, which is a virtual CPA firm I founded about 4 years ago. We're based in Chicago, but again, virtual, serve clients all over the place.
That's awesome, man. Yeah. And so you started it 4 years ago and you had some public experience before that. So just kind of worked into, you know, that I can do it better.
Exactly. Sort of a thing. Yeah. I don't know if I ever intended to start a CPA firm. It just is one of those things that happened to me. And, but right. Yeah, there's always those things that, you know, being in public, I was in public for 7 years and it's like, oh man, if I ever started my own firm, I would do it my own way. And I just happened to have the chance to start my own firm and did those things I said I was going to do.
Yeah. Well, congrats, man. I mean, four years, you're doing it. Yep. So that's awesome, man. That's really cool. I love how you say it's something that happened to you, which is how I got into accounting. The one question I love to ask everyone is just, how did you get into accounting?
Yeah, so I've always been a numbers guy, love math and all that stuff. So I knew I wanted to do business. I knew I liked math. I didn't know how I'd interplay that together. My high school happened to have two accounting courses you could take. And so I took them both and loved them. And it's like, all right, this is what I want to do. Like, I can do accounting. This makes sense to me. It's numbers. It's business. So that's what I want to do. And so I went to college and got an accounting degree and started there.
Yeah, that's awesome, man. All right. So you knew going in. See me, I just got my butt handed to me in engineering. I also liked math. So that's great though. That's great. So I mean, running your own firm, I mean, that's got to take a lot of time and eat up a lot of hours. But when you do have some free time, what hobby passion do you really love to do?
I'm a home winemaker and I also do home brewing.
Nice.
It's one of those things where it's a creative element that I can participate in and right. enjoy that it's not business. It's not dealing with the day to day. It's just kind of this like element I can be in where I can create and have fun and enjoy. And
right. Right. That. You're not worried about the budget.
Not worried about budget. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Exactly. That's awesome, man. So, I mean, how do you get it? I mean, winemaking. I mean, I've heard of the microbrews and we've had a couple of people on the podcast that have done that too, but we'll get into that. But on winemaking, I mean, how do you get into winemaking?
Yeah, I got into it because homebrewing has become this big thing and I wanted to do something, but not do that initially.
Sure.
Okay. And I liked wine. I like going to like Napa and Sonoma and things like that. So it's like, okay, I'll try home winemaking. Yeah. It's like, hey, why not? Let's give that a shot.
Right.
And it's almost kind of like accounting. It's this process that's very detail oriented. It takes a long time to do. Whereas like home brewing, you brew a batch and 2 weeks later you can enjoy it. winemaking, you do the work for the initial process, but you can't taste the fruits of your labor for a year or 2 years later.
Right.
But it's very detail oriented. A lot of math comes into play, right, with winemaking. So I started there because I thought that'd be fun and interesting and something different to do. And from there, started doing, home brewing as well. And I had a friend who is really into home brewing and has probably the most elaborate homebrew setup I've ever seen in my life.
Right.
And so I brewed with him but those are kind of fun things to do. It's fun to do with other people.
Yeah.
And it's a thing that takes some time, but it's also to see those efforts, the fruits of your labor afterwards and enjoy that. It's a lot of fun.
Right. Right. That's pretty awesome, man. But that's a good point. I never thought of that on with the microbrew, you can drink it pretty quickly, but on the wine, you don't know for 2 years whether or not you're terrible at it. So it's
like, right. And I was terrible the first couple of wines. I opened them up and say, like, ooh, but you learn and you adjust and
yeah.
You try more next time.
That's awesome, man. That's so cool. So do you have a favorite kind of wine that you like to make?
Oh, I think the favorite kind of wine I like to make is like a Shiraz or a Zinfandel.
Oh, okay.
There's a little bit more, from a red wine perspective, a little bit more forgiving.
Okay.
If you have some issues, you're running into things. Whereas like a Cabernet, like if you screw up a Cabernet, it's pretty evident.
Right.
So I like the ones where I can have a little bit more flexibility in and at least enjoy it. And even if it's not the best in the world.
Yeah. I like it, man. That's awesome. That's very cool. And so you said that you have a friend that also does the microbrew. So you guys collaborate together on some things I'm sure that it brings people into the fold as well.
It does. Yeah. We like when he's done brews, it's one of those things where you can get a bunch of guys or people together and you can do it together. It takes, a brew day. It may take 4 or 5 hours to do.
Oh yeah.
And a lot of it's sometimes just sitting around doing nothing, but it's kind of a fun thing to do to do it. And then I came out and talk and spend time with
you. Yeah. So it's a lot like an audit, sitting around doing exactly. nothing. And then all of a sudden we got to do stuff really fast.
Yeah. It's a lot like an audit. Yeah.
Mother Nature is the client and she'll deliver the papers when she's ready.
Exactly. Yeah.
That's how that works. Right. That's awesome, man. So would you say that any of this has helped you like a unique skill set with your career?
Well, it has in that I've been able to, when I started my firm, I wanted to, I got to start and do something. I just want to be, I didn't want to be a journalist and I'm not a tax guy by trade. I'm an auditor by trade. Yeah. And so it's like, yeah, well, what am I going to do? Who am I going to serve? And I was like, well, I like making beer. I enjoy beer. So why don't I craft my CPA firm to serve breweries? And so that's what we did.
Nice.
And so that's been really cool to take that kind of passion that I have on the side and do it every day now and working with breweries and help them grow and see what they're doing, see how they've, grown from starting up to, doing the cool things they're doing now.
Yeah, that's really, really cool, man. Because I mean, and it's really profound that you, were like, oh, I can't do, I could do accounting for everyone, but, then you'll get just lost in the masses.
Right.
And so just really to stand out like that. And it's something that, so now I imagine that you're more excited to go to work because you're dealing with clients that you love and people that are doing something that you are also passionate about.
Yeah.
So it brings a little more fervor than if you were, in your audit days when you were auditing, I remember once I did a bakery. It was like a giant, bread making place. And it's like, well, I like bread, but I mean, not this much. Right. I mean, gosh, you guys kind of smell weird. It's like kind of a weird yeast smell, but with beer, at least there's a reason why, that's going on. So that's really cool, man. That's awesome. Is it something that you did before you started your own firm? I would imagine, right?
Yeah. So come back to my friend who has this crazy elaborate homebrew setup. Before I was even thinking about starting a firm, he had the idea of what if I started a brewery? And I was like, okay, let's start a brewery together. And so we went through kind of all the things you do when you try to start a brewery, build a business plan and figure out all the regulatory issues and all that stuff. And so we kind of got through this whole process. And then at the end, it ended up, kind of falling through. But I had all this knowledge that I obtained from this. And I was like, okay, well, now that I have this, like, what do I do with it?
Right.
I spent, 6 months, studying and getting into the weeds and all the tax issues and regulatory issues and everything. It's like, okay, so let's do this. And shortly thereafter was the time where I had the chance to start a CPA firm. And it's like, okay, well, I have all this knowledge when it comes to breweries. Why don't I utilize it and serve the breweries. Not only serve it because I like beer, but I also get to serve them because I understand what's exactly going on in the industry. I understand right. what their issues are. I know where the issue, you know, things where they could run into trouble at. I, you know, have that appreciation from the kind of beyond just brewing beer, all their aspects that go into running a brewery
right.
and able to utilize that. And so you know, I think that was, you know, even though I wasn't able to start the brewery myself, being able to take that knowledge and use that to help breweries going forward was tremendously helpful.
Yeah.
And obviously it's a, you know, for breweries who are looking for an accountant, it's helpful for them too, because I already understand the business. I know
right.
what's going on.
Right. Yeah. And that's awesome, man. I mean, I love how you said, you know, you weren't able to necessarily do the microbrew, you know, yourself, but you're a part of all of these other ones.
Right.
And so, which is even more impactful, which is cool, man. That's really awesome. So when you worked in the public firm days before starting Lance CPA Group, did you talk about making beers on the side, or was it something that you just sort of kept under wraps?
I talked about it a little bit because, you know, it's some, you know, people are interested in like, oh, you make wine at home. How's that work?
Right.
So it was interesting. But, you know, in my public days, I was doing audits for financial institutions, which was kind of as far as ways you can get from being a winery or a brewery. Right. And so people are like, oh, that's interesting. But like, it wasn't really anything that people ultimately cared about or anything I could really utilize in my day-to-day work.
Sure.
But yeah, it's, I think people are always interested in, especially on the winemaking side, it's like, how do you actually do that? Like, what's going on here?
Right.
And so it's fun to kind of explain like how that process works. Cause a lot of people do homebrew yeah. and understand that at least tangentially, or have gone to a brewery and done a tour and the brew process, but they don't necessarily understand the wine.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's really cool, man. That's really cool. So I know that there's a lot of people, when I talk to them, like when I speak to firms and conferences and stuff, and they're just always, you know, hey, I have this hobby, but no one else does. So no one else is going to care. Because clearly, there's not a lot of winemakers out there that are also in, you know, public accounting. So, you know, how does that come up? Or how do you feel about, you know, I'm the only one? Did you feel kind of odd or nervous about talking about it?
No, not really. I mean, there are a lot of things in public accounting. I felt I was the only one that thought these things. So I always tried to have, you know, particularly in my public accounting days, I didn't want to public accounting to kind of consume my life. And so I wanted to have that outlet, whether it's winemaking or making beer, that was separate from that, that didn't kind of interfere with work. And so I think it was cool to talk about that. But it was also one of those things where people are like, oh, I, you know, I don't have time to do that. I'm working all the time. It's like, well, okay, well, I need some outlet, or else I'm going to go crazy.
Right. Yeah. And I mean, if you're working all the time, I think you're doing it wrong, to be honest.
Right. Exactly. Yeah.
Like
yeah.
how bad are you at this job? Like, I mean, really? Like, I mean,
exactly.
I'm getting it done. Yeah. So what, you know, I'm not rocket scientist here, but you create the time that you want to have. Obviously you were doing well, so it's not like, you know, you weren't just sloughing off and mailing it in.
Exactly.
Yeah. I mean, that's got to create better relationships, and I'd imagine, you know, the people that did find out about that, and you know, you could have those conversations, you had a different level of a relationship than strictly, you know, talking about accounting or talking about the audit side of what's going on, which is, it's kind of cool.
Yeah. And it's, there's only so much you can talk about accounting together or audits together until you lose your mind. So the talk, you know, especially, yeah, when you travel for audits and you're having dinner and lunch with your coworkers, you want to talk about something different than the work paper you just worked on. So, you know, it's fun to kind of talk about beer making and wine making. It's particularly if you're at a nice restaurant and we had nice wine or beer, you can talk like, okay, I understand what they're doing when they made that wine or made that beer.
Right.
It was fun to talk about, and people seem to enjoy that.
Yeah. 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 One question that I really like to noodle on is, how much do you feel like it's on a firm or on an organization to create that culture to where it's okay to be human, if you will, and share those hobbies, passions, versus how much is it on the individual to step up?
You know, I think it's both, but I think the culture that the company creates is critical to that. And if the culture doesn't allow the expression of individuality or to, you know, have a life outside that company, it becomes hard for the individual to be there and do that on their own.
Right.
And unfortunately, you know, like a lot of large public accounting firms that the culture really isn't there. And it's, you know, work. And if you're not working, something must be wrong. And like, why, you know, how can you have free time and things like that?
Right.
And when I started my firm, I wanted to make sure we had the culture that people could, that, you know, our firm is not their entire life. It's a place where they work. It's a place where they can find enjoyment in work. But it's also a place that allows them to do what they like to do, and have a life outside of work. And if we have the culture where everyone needs to work constantly, and if we're not working constantly, then, you know, we're doing something wrong, then that's not the place I want to create for myself.
Right.
And that was really important for me when I built my company, was to have the culture that said, all right, we are doing accounting work, and we're all have that knowledge base that we come to, and we're good at it, but we're more than just accountants, and you have other things that we like to do, and we want to support that and have time for that and enjoy that. And I think it really does come to the company that sets the culture that allows for that.
Yeah.
And then the individual being able to express that and say, yeah, like, I really like to, you know, mountain bike, and I want to do that a lot, and I want to have the time to do that and tell people about it and hear people enjoy why I like to do mountain bike.
Right.
So having that culture, I think, is important, because if that doesn't exist, you really start to lose the person that's there, and that person becomes more of a number and a resource and less of a coworker and a human that you're working with.
Wow, man, that's so good. I mean, I love that, how we're more than just accountants. That really sums it up right there. Cause I mean, that's the way that, yeah, I mean, people look at it. And I guess, do you feel like when it's a larger organization, is it a little more difficult to have that impact, or, you know, versus on a smaller team? You know, maybe the audit client that you were working on and that team had a certain culture versus a different team, or is it more of a firm-wide thing that it goes all the way down?
Yeah, no, I think the firm-wide sets, you know, at least that's the direction. Mm-hmm. I had people I worked with that there was a different culture and a different vibe with than what the firm-wide, you know, culture was.
Sure.
But the firm sets that, and ultimately it becomes like almost a top-down situation.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
it's one thing that you know, if you have your partner saying, oh yeah, we, you know, support work-life balance and all that stuff, but they're not doing it.
Right.
You know, it becomes hard to believe what they say. Right. And then, you know, that filters down, and, you know, people see that, and then they don't feel like they can participate in that. Or if those things were participated in, like, the firm that I had worked at, you know, had loud flux time for people who wanted to stay home with their kids and have more of a flexible schedule. They said that, okay, this is part of our culture, but then people who, you know, took advantage of that, were almost treated like second-class citizens at the firm.
Right.
They got passed over from promotions. They, weren't given, you know, good client assignments. They were kind of shoved off to the side. And that says a lot. You know, it's one thing to say, we believe these things, but it's how you actually live those things out on a day-to-day basis. And if those don't jive, then that becomes a big issue. Right. And that was an issue for me when I left there, was I didn't feel like the culture that they were trying to have or trying to say that they had was actually the culture that was being lived out.
Right.
And it started to not jive with how I wanted to live my life and my future that I had envisioned for myself. And it became a place or a time where it says like, all right, I need to get out and leave and do something different, because those things weren't aligning anymore.
Right. Yeah. And I mean, it's so glaring when, you know, that, I mean, it's so obvious to everyone. And it's funny how, you know, some places try to, yeah, I mean, they say things, or they have the slogan on the brochure or, you know, on the website or whatever. And then you walk in and you're like, there is no oxygen in this office. I mean, like, there's no color, there's no anything. And yet, you know, it's, you know, work-life balance is our number one. And it's like, well, this is crazy. I mean, you know, it's like, right. I mean, no one's allowed to look at you in the eye. I mean, it's like, where are we?
Right, yeah.
Is there anything specific that you do at Lance CPA Group, or that you've seen in your past life, or some friends of yours or whatever, that firms do to encourage this sharing, or, you know, this work-life balance? I guess, you know, a good example would be actually living it out instead of just saying it. That would be one, yeah. I would imagine.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a big thing that we have. I mean, one of our big kind of things can differentiate our firm is, one, that we're virtual, but two, that all of our employees are stay-at-home parents.
Ah.
And the one reasons I created that was just from my experience working at the firm that I worked at was, there wasn't a good space for someone who, you know, they had a kid and they wanted to kind of change their kind of work life situation.
Yeah.
The firm, you know, said that they had, you know, oh yeah, we support that, but then it was evident it wasn't. And so you had all these really qualified individuals who ended up leaving the firm because they just didn't feel like they're being supported.
Right.
What they're trying to do. And so I saw that and I was like, okay, well, if I'm going to start a firm, that would be a great place to start looking for employees because there's a lot of talented individuals, a lot of talented accountants who are getting kind of sloughed off by the major firms because they, you know, they want to work a flexible schedule and they don't want to be working 80 hours a week. And so I think that's been really cool for us because not only does, you know, everyone kind of share that, but it also helps from a cultural standpoint because we understand kind of the needs of everyone. And, you know, hey, like I can't work today because my kid's got a field trip I'm going to. And it's like, great. Like, that's awesome. Like, we were here to support that and do that. And that's no problem.
Right.
And that does, you know, I looked frowned upon that, like, hey, I'm not going to work today because I want to be with my kids or things like that. And so
Yeah. Setting
that culture where people who are in that particular life situation have the ability to do the work that they're talented at, but also fit that into their life is, I thought, was really important when I started the firm.
Yeah,
so I think that was a huge thing that we did. And that's been helpful too. Everyone in the firm has kids around the same age range, right?
Yeah, so, there you go.
We're all dealing with the same thing. So, you know, we're not talking accounting. Like, we all have some more, you know, places in our lives that we can talk about beyond just, you know, doing debits and credits.
Yeah, absolutely. And I imagine, I mean, that's got to be so much more powerful. And it, you know, just gas on the fire in a good way,
you know, of
just really bringing everyone together. And it's all in the open from the beginning. I mean, you know, so it's not like you're encouraging people that they have to hide it or they have to work around this or they have to be uncomfortable. It's no, we want you to be comfortable and thrive and be here. So that's really awesome. Now, how about like when it comes to people's hobbies and passions and things they like to do outside of work, outside of their kids? I'm sure that comes up in conversation at some point, or is it a specific thing that you look to bring out in people?
No, it definitely comes up, and everyone's got their things that they do. Like,
right.
One of our staff members, she loves to do photography and she has her little photography side business. And so that's stuff that we talk
Sweet.
About. And then we try to even incorporate into the business where she's now using photography skills to, you know, do some of our marketing.
There you go.
One of our employees, she's big in the sports and playing sports. And so that gets brought in and,
right.
You know, we do events then that are, you know, around things that she likes to do and that are outside of work. And
that's
so cool. I think it's important to bring those things in because, I mean, just like how I started my firm, I brought in my, you know, home winemaking, home brewing and work with breweries expertise, like
right.
Bring those things in has value to our firm and ways we can utilize that and utilize what they love to do outside the accounting world. Ultimately brings us to do better work for our clients. But then we also find cool new ways to interact those things in.
Yeah. I mean, that's so awesome. Cause I mean, the way you just said it, I mean, not only does it bring everyone together and closer and as a team, but you're able to use those skills to make the firm better. And they're able to use those skills to make their careers better and to stand out. And, you know, no business school or no CPE is telling you that.
Right.
So that's what it's all about, man. That's really awesome, man. Really awesome. So so before we come in for a landing here, do you have any words of encouragement or something for people that are listening that are maybe on the fence of, you know, I'm the only one that does this hobby, or, you know, how should I go about, you know, talking to people or sharing this?
Yeah, I would say, and this is kind of just from my own experiences, there are other people who feel that same way too. Like there are, you know, when I was working in public accounting and it's like, I'm the only one that thinks that like billing by the hour is stupid.
Right.
There are other people out there that think that same thing too, right?
Right.
And it's to find those communities, right? So I'm a part of a community called Thrival, which is a bunch of entrepreneurial CPAs.
Yeah.
And finding other people who are like, yeah, I believe those same things too. And I think those are important is good because you're not the only one who thinks that.
Right.
And there are people who are also thinking about it and like saying, okay, what can I do differently? How can I change this? Like, how can I, you know, bring in what I love to do outside of work into my work life and what I do on a daily basis, and finding that community, those communities of people to kind of encourage you and say, yeah, you can do this. And like what you believe isn't stupid or dumb. And when you're out by yourself and alone, it, you know, you may feel like, okay, I'm the only one who does this. And I'm just the weird one here and I'm the dumb one here. But there are people out there to do that. And so when you find those other people and find that kind of community to help you, like, yeah, you're not alone here. I think that's important because that kind of gives you the courage to kind of do what you want to do and to do the things that you think are important.
Yeah, man. I mean, that's so great. Yeah. Just sharing a little bit of yourself or what you're thinking. And then before you know it, it's like, wow, I'm not the only one. And that's 9 times out of 10 or more. That's going to be the case. And it's all in our own head. And yeah, that Thrival group's great. Jason Blummer, a guest on the Green Apple podcast as well. So yeah, so before I fly to Chicago and we start making some wine together, I do have my 17 rapid fire questions that I have to run you through.
Yeah.
So I'm going to fire this thing up here and all right, here we go. Here we go. All right. First one, I'll start you with the easy one. Do you have a favorite color?
Green.
Green. All right. How about a least favorite color?
Pink.
Pink. All right. That's solid. How about when it comes to a toilet paper roll? Are you more over or under?
Oh, definitely over.
Oh, definitely over. All right. Good answer. We can hang. All right. Are you more Sudoku or crossword puzzle?
Crossword puzzle.
All right. Interesting. How about pens or pencils?
Pens.
Pens. All right. No mistakes. Look at you, man. Do you have a favorite comedian?
Jim Gaffigan.
Oh, yeah. Gaffigan's really great. Very funny. Would you say you're more of an early bird or a night owl?
Because I have kids now, I'm an early bird.
Right. How about more Star Wars or Star Trek?
Oh, Star Wars.
Star Wars. There you go. How about favorite place you've been on vacation?
Hawaii.
Hawaii. Solid answer. Solid. And when it comes to computers, are you more PC or Mac?
I'm PC. I'm a PC guy.
Yeah, me too. I'm a PC guy. So on a mouse, are you more of a right click or a left click?
Left click.
Left click. All right. More cats or dogs?
Definitely dogs.
Definitely dogs. Do you have a favorite kind of dog?
I would say Havanese just because that's the dog that we have right now.
Oh, there you go. Perfect. In case they're listening, then they don't get their feelings hurt. So right, perfect. Exactly. When it comes to financials, more balance sheet or income statement?
Balance sheet.
Balance sheet. There you go. How about a favorite sports team?
The Green Bay Packers.
Whoa, the Chicago guy just got outed. Do you have a favorite number?
10.
10. And why is that?
That was the number I always was assigned in sports. So my jersey number.
Oh, it's a solid number, man. That's a good answer. Last one. Do you have a favorite thing you own or favorite thing you have?
I would say the favorite thing I own, which I don't have in my possession right now, but it's coming in the mail, is what's called a growler chill.
Okay.
And it's basically like a home bar setup where you can put 3 growlers in and have like tap handles to pour them.
Nice.
It's not here yet, but it's coming. So that right now is going to be my favorite thing.
That's awesome, man. That's very cool. Very cool. Well, this has been really, really fantastic. Thanks so much for taking time today, Josh, to be with me on the Green Apple Podcast.
Thank you.
Man, that was so, so great. I loved how Josh said, while we might be good at it, we are all much more than just accountants. And this is absolutely true no matter what your profession is. It's nearly impossible to differentiate yourself based on what you do. So instead, look to who you are. Those hobbies and passions and things you do with your free time. If you'd like to see some pictures of Josh making his wine and connect with him on social media, please go to greenapplepodcast.com. All the links are there. And while you're on the page, please click that big green button, do the anonymous research survey about firm culture. So thanks again for subscribing to the show and for sharing this with your friends so they get the message that we're all trying to spread, which is to go out and be a green apple.